grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon this morning is our first lesson appointed for this Sunday from the book of the prophet Jonah. We read in the third chapter the first five verses and then verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Epiphany King, dearly loved by God. The ministry of Jonah, whom some have called the reluctant missionary, is like a diamond with many different facets. We could look at the facet of God's calling Jonah to go to Nineveh. We could look at the facet of Jonah's willingness, or rather unwillingness, to go to Nineveh when the Lord called him. We could look at the facet of the great miracle of God delivering Jonah from the belly of the great fish after 3 days, which is, Jesus says, a type of his resurrection from the dead on the third day. We could look at the facet of Jonah's ill-advised anger against the Lord for calling these Gentiles to repentance and faith. The facet that we will look at, because it's the Epiphany season, is the desire and will of our Lord to save all sinners, including the Gentiles. The Ninevites, whom we would call Iraqis, today, were Gentiles, and God wanted them to know and to worship him, the only Lord God. He would use the same tool that he always used and still uses to accomplish that will of saving sinners. And that tool is the preaching of God's word. So the point is, we'll take a look at Jonah this morning and see what happened. What's still happening as we, like Jonah, preach the word that the Lord gives to us as it gave to him. God accomplishes his will to save sinners through the preaching of his word. We see, first of all, that Jonah was faithful and he preached God's judgment against sin and unbelief. But Jonah was also faithful in that he preached to those Gentiles God's compassion and his love for those who repent. The city of Nineveh, you can see its ruins today outside the city of Mosul, Iraq, was at this particular time a great city. At this time in history, somewhere between 850 and 825 BC, the Assyrian kingdom was starting to diminish a bit in its power and influence in the nation, or in the world. But it was to this nation of Assyrians that God sent Jonah the prophet. And when we meet Jonah this time, we read that Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. It was a big task that Jonah had, all those people. They were idolaters. They showed that they worshiped false gods and not the Lord God, because the fruits of their belief was not love and charity toward their neighbor, but rather we read that the fruits of their idolatry were evil ways and violence. Sadly, that's still the way it is in the world today, isn't it? Among many who worship false gods, their ways of life are ways of doing evil and of inflicting violence on others. Jonah had come to the great city because the Lord had called him to go there, because the Lord's will is that all sinners come to know the Lord God. That all sinners come to realize not only their lost sinful condition, but the promise of the Savior who takes care of that. And so that was the message that Jonah came with and preached to the Ninevites. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. God wanted those Gentiles to know his righteous anger and his judgment against sin and unbelief. He wanted them to know that he is the only God, and apart from him, there is no other. But did you notice that God, instead of just destroying them right then and there for their idolatry, instead of saying to them, you better repent right on the spot, or I'm going to destroy you, he said, 40 more days before Nineveh is overthrown. God gave these Gentiles a time of grace. Very much like that 120 years that God gave the world before he opened up the earth and the heavens and flooded the earth and destroyed those who did not take advantage of that time of grace. You and I, this moment, are experiencing our time of grace. God has given us these hours to repent, even as the children of God, to daily repent of our sins, to daily drown our old Adams with his power in our holy baptisms, to be contrite and to acknowledge before God that what we have done is a sin and offense against God. Through the working of the law that Jonah preached, the Holy Spirit worked that contrite heart in the Ninevites. They came to realize their idolatry, their evil ways, and their violence, because they turned from those and they put on sackcloth and ashes. They showed that their repentance was sincere, that they really knew now that what they had done was a sin, and now they would worship that Lord God. God gave them that 40 days, like he gave the world 120 years, like he gives us this minute, and like he gives the rest of the world until he returns or they die, that time of grace, to fear his judgment, to have a broken and contrite heart that acknowledges to the Lord God, I have sinned against you and deserve your judgment. That is why you and I, as modern Jonas, need to take that message out to the world. May we not be like Jonah was at first, reluctant missionaries, but be, as others have called him later, repentant missionaries, who did the will of God and preached that message that is not our own, but the message that God gives to us, to call the world to know its sin and confess that sin before God. Jonah's preaching of the law accomplished God's will that the people would repent. The Ninevites believed God, They trusted that God wasn't kidding, that he was going to judge their unbelief and their sin. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Good for them. Good for those people out there. And when we take that word of God out there, we hope that they will be able to escape judgment by acknowledging their contrite hearts. But interestingly enough, the Holy Spirit had St. Peter write in his second epistle, "For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household." In other words, Peter's saying, don't look out there, look in here. God's judgment begins with me. It begins with us believers. It begins with the members of God's household. God calls you and me to that daily repentance that I mentioned. That daily recognition that what I am and what I have done or not done contrary to God's word condemns me to hell. It puts me under God's judgment against sin and unbelief. And even as we are contrite and repent in that narrow sense, even if we don't do that literally in sackcloth and ashes, we do it with literally broken hearts and contrite sighs that we have sinned against the Lord. That wasn't, however, all of God's message and word to share with the Ninevites. Because God's judgment and the law and threats doesn't work faith. It doesn't work belief in God who forgives those sins. That repentance in the broad sense, which includes faith, is worked only by the gospel. And Jonah told the Ninevites about the Lord God. And in the Lord is that name that means I'm sending a Savior. That in eternity, I've already loved you. I've already had compassion on you. And I have forgiven those sins that you had confessed. And so God, on the basis of his eternal desire and will, and by the power of his word, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. He didn't bring the destruction on them that he had threatened because they acknowledged their sin and believed in the Savior. And they had shown that by giving up their evil ways and their violence. Really, the Lord had turned them from their evil ways as we understand repentance. The Lord turns us from those evil ways we confess to trust in him for forgiveness by the power of the Spirit working in the gospel. That happens to us daily as well. It happens as we daily remember our baptisms. It reminds us of that daily as we read and hear God's word. It reminds us of that and gives us that weekly as we gather together in public worship. We and the Ninevites bear the daily fruits of repentance and faith with genuine contrition and trust in our Savior. Jonah had shared with them the message that God had given them. God's will is to save sinners through the preaching of his word. And he preached that word to the Ninevites and he saved them. Don't think for a minute, however, that when God relented, it means that he changed his mind or he just said, well, no, I'm not really going to judge him like I said I was. He relented from judging them for the same reason that he has relented from judging you and me. And that is because he judged Jesus Christ. the sins of the Ninevites, the sins of the world, your sins and mine were judged when God brought His full wrath and punishment down on Jesus Christ on the cross. It is on the cross that we see God is serious when He says that I am going to judge your sin and your unbelief. We dare not neglect to look daily at the cross. But it's also on the cross that we see God's love and compassion. Because there in your place and mine hangs the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, holy and sinless under the law. Because we are guilty of breaking the law. So when you and I preach the cross, we preach God's love and compassion because Jesus is there for us, bearing that punishment. And then the Father raised Him from the dead, assuring us that He has accepted it. We dare never stop looking at the cross because it is there where we see unchangingly, powerfully, eternally, God's judgment against our sin, God's compassion for us sinners, and His determination to save sinners through the preaching of His Word. This brilliant facet of Jonah preaching to the Gentiles, because God's will is that sinners come to faith in Him through the preaching of His Word, is paralleled again by Peter in his second epistle when he wrote, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This facet of Jonah's ministry to the Assyrians in Nineveh matches Paul's words to Timothy in his first epistle. God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is why, like Jonah, you and I preach God's Word, the Word that God has given us. Because this is how He accomplishes His purpose to save sinners. This is how and the tool God used to accomplish His purpose to save you and to save me. This is how God has spared us by His compassion and love from the judgment that we deserve. Amen.